Dale's Other World on WGN. Later in the program, we'll be talking gelato, so you know that's got to be good. Next week on the show, legendary performer Melba Moore. I am so excited to speak with her. And Ann Beal will be here. She's the author of Cinderella Didn't Live Happily Ever After. Who knew? I guess she knew that story. Teo Hardeman is here. He's a community activist. If you've heard of Violence Interrupters, you've heard of Teo. Teo, you've been in the news lately, talking mostly about the CTA and about the violence on the CTA. So here's where I start this. Mayor Lori Lightfoot was on the show maybe 3-4 weeks ago, maybe a little longer. I'm not good with dates, but in there somewhere. And it was before a rash of violence, particularly on the Red Line. But when I asked her about riding the CTA, she said, "It is perfectly safe." And I believe that's an exact quote, if not near it. What do you think?
Well, the CTA train system here in Chicago is nowhere close to being perfectly safe at all. I made a decision. I'm not here to, criticize the mayor so much, but I will say this because I live in a real world, in other words. I've rode the CTA a few times, even though I have a car, right? But I got on the CTA myself late at night just to try to get a feel of what's going on. And I live on the south side of Chicago. I boarded the CTA on 79th Street and took the CTA all the way to Bell, my Wrigley Field, right?
Sure.
So the moral of the story, the CTA is not safe. And I would like to recommend that the mayor should ride the CTA herself without any security. And get a feel, ride the CTA at 2 o'clock in the morning or during rush hour, and you'll see a lot of people have issues on the CTA. People have mental health issues, homelessness issues. You have predators on the CTA train that are looking to rob people on a daily basis.
All right, so has the city, have the Chicago Police Department, the CTA themselves, have they responded enough, in your opinion?
Well, right now, the CTA officials, they continue to say they've hired over 200 unarmed security individuals. The police department say they beefed up security on the CTA trains. What's missing, in my opinion, based on my experience and expertise dealing with violence prevention and violence reduction work, is we need a unit of people on the CTA trains that can perform outreach services, reach out to the at-risk youth that are on the trains, and provide services to them right there on location. Now, you got some people that struggle with mental health issues. You need a unit on the train that can really work with the people and detect any potential incidents before they turn violent. That's very important. So I did submit a proposal to the CPD and the mayor's office. That's like a month and a half ago. No response at all. One of the chiefs of the police department asked me to put something in writing, which I did, and no response. To me, it was kind of disrespectful because, you go out your way to write up a proposal. I'm not saying they guarantee me anything. They don't owe me anything. I want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. But I would really like to help on the CTA. I have about 100 people on standby. We're not going to serve as a security unit or nothing like that. It's about having a presence on the train.
What do they want to do? By the way, our phone number, of course, 312-981-7200. You can text or you can call if you have questions about all this. And do any of you not feel, or maybe you do feel comfortable writing the CTA? Let me know. And let Teo Hardeman know that.
Yes.
All right, so what do you want to do?
I would like to hire about maybe 50 of my violence interrupters. A lot of them have martial arts experience. Not that they're going to hurt anybody, but they have experience in self-defense. And what we would like to do is really serve as a dual purpose. Have a lot of presence on the train, number one, especially the hot areas like the Red Line. I had a guy that was on the train about a week ago, a guy asking for a cigarette, and my friend he does not smoke, and the guy spit in his face after he said he didn't have no cigarettes. So I would like to have increased presence on the train and also perform outreach services to the individuals on the train. That's all we want to do, because therefore we can, like if a guy wants to hurt somebody, we know how that looks. We can detect that on the front end and interrupt the conflict before a person becomes aggressive on another person.
So
that's what.
The texter here says, isn't this vigilantism?
No, that's why I cleared it up. We would like to perform outreach, just community outreach work, and then work with the people. And you got young guys, I'll say this much. When I had my 50 people on the trains with me, a lot of young guys, they were shaking their hands and they sat down and all that kind of good stuff. Some of them, they were just jumping from one boxcar to another, like jumping to the other.
They do.
Yeah, they got out the way because they know we're serious about trying to keep people safe. Now, understand the root put it like this. The reason that I began to board the trains, I had some young ladies who told me that somebody snatched their purse, somebody knocked one of the ladies to the ground, and a lot of things are going on. People are being robbed, shot. Just about 2 weeks ago, a guy had to pull a guy off the railroad tracks because he might have got electrocuted. The guy risked his life. The guy got into a fight, was knocked over on the tracks, and the guy risked his life to save the guy.
Do you think this isn't being talked about enough in the media, that there's actually more happening than what those of us who are on radio or TV talk about?
Without a doubt, what you hear are the stories that might make the news. You have a lot of people that are being assaulted on CTA trains right now. I had a guy told me the red line is, they call it the red line because it's hot. It's hot with crime. That's why they call it the red line. 2 months ago, crime was up by 17% on the CTA trains. Now it's up again. Even on the blue line, you know, I had a friend that got hit in the face on the train, and his whole jawbone was fractured. He had to get some surgery on his jawbone, you know, so it's on his face. It's crazy. So a lot of the crime is being underreported, without a doubt.
All right, and this is happening all over the city, and you would say, okay, your guys would be there with a presence. How do we know it's you guys? Are you wearing uniforms?
Yeah.
Are you wearing funny little hats?
No, I have Violence Interrupter t-shirts, Violence Interrupter face masks, and we'll make sure people know that it's the Violence Interrupters. And, you know, when we were on the trains, a lot of people received us quite well. Some of the passengers were happy to see us on the trains. I'm talking about white, black, Hispanic, Asian people. They were just elated that we were out there trying to help, you know, keep people safe.
Well, keeping people safe is important. Let's go to the phones, and we have a couple of calls here. Terry, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Thank you. I take the blue line to downtown Chicago to the Monroe stop every day. I'm on the platform at 6:30 in the morning, and then again coming home at 5 o'clock. I have yet to see any security, any police, any canine. The homeless people, unfortunately, I'm very sympathetic to the homeless, but they have made the blue line their home.
Yes.
They openly defecate. This last week, I had to run downstairs and get a CTA attendant because there was a man walking up and down the platform, exposing himself. He had his pants down around his knees. It's terrible. It's terrible. I mean, the pickpocketing, the snatching. And again, I've been going to work throughout the pandemic, and I have yet to see one security person, not one.
Wow.
And with all this, Terry, going on, so let's go back in time. At what point did this turn? Because I don't believe the red line, or the, you said the blue line in your case, has always been.
I'm on the blue line.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe it's always been this way.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. Right. I'm sure the turning was probably the pandemic. You know, people have no place to go. It's cold out. People, you know, homeless get on the train. But no one, I mean, and fine if they need to ride the trains, but they are sprawled out in the middle of the cars. I've done it many times, have jumped from car to car to car because I'm concerned about my safety, the horrible odors on the train, they're filthy. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
So why hasn't, thank you very much, Terry, I appreciate this. Why hasn't anyone, you're saying I want to do something about it. Will it be enough? And where the heck are the city officials who are supposed to be doing something about it? And why aren't they answering? I mean, citizens like this, we hear it all the time at the radio station, so I assume aldermen are hearing about this all the time. Why is nothing being at least tried that is stronger than what's been tried?
I think there's a lot of politics involved in it, to be honest with you. And what I mean by politics is, see, like a guy like me, I'm not controversial, I'm just outspoken. So a lot of times people may not want to partner with me because I speak from a different level of understanding, in other words. I'm on the ground level, ground zero, working with the people for real. And
but
I'm not political.
But in a way, I'd argue you're Switzerland because
right.
You don't play the
right,
political game.
Right, that's what I'm talking
game.
About. Yeah. I don't play the political game. But, you know, we need all hands on deck right now. And Terry's correct. When you're on the trains, when I was out there, I didn't see anybody out there. Seriously, I didn't see no police on the train. I didn't see no unarmed security. And if you have unarmed security out there, the guys on the streets, they know that. So they're not really concerned. They know the security cannot do anything to them. And I'm not saying we're out there as security. My thing, once again, is not we're not trying to be vigilantes. We're just on the trains trying to have some more sense of security and safety on the trains for the passengers.
Well, we have more phone calls and text. We'll get to those.
Good.
And More from Teal Hardiman, who's here to say, I want to do something about this, violence interrupters, but can they be effective? What do you think? 312-981-7200. It's 217 on WGN. Steve Dale back on WGN Radio. We have Teal Hardiman in the studio from Violence Interrupters and several of you who do want to talk to him. So let's go to the phones. We're talking about CTA and violence on the CTA. I think violence isn't exactly the right word, unfortunately.
And, right.
So, Edward, you're here on WGN.
Yeah, Steve, Theo, it's a great topic. You know, Mr. Griffin and Caterpillar and Boeing are leaving. So
yes.
We got to get our act together here. I take the orange line because when I go into downtown, I am not taking my car and putting it at risk of it being carjacked. So whenever I go to downtown to the north side, I take the orange line and then switch to the brown line. And it's the same story. You got graffiti, the train car smell, obviously they defecate. I was on the blue line and the guy was, I think, getting ready to show his private parts. So it's pretty bad out there. And unless we get this crime under control, I don't see any people, companies from out of state coming in and investing in this city. Unfortunately.
Yep.
But there's a sense of hopelessness with some of the people that ride the blue line, the red line, and despair. The pandemic brought about a real a paranoia for a lot of people, and like a sense of like there's nothing going on far as, you know, in the city, far as resources or whatever the case may be. A lot of people are homeless out there. But when you have people, that's a sign of mental health there. People are, you know, exposing themselves and all that kind of crazy stuff.
Well, sure. But Edward brings up a good point here for himself. I mean, so what do you do, Edward? You can drive in, but you're worried about carjacking. You can drive in, but you have to pay $3 gazillion for parking.
Right.
Or you could take
the
train
too,
and now you're worried about your public safety.
But
so
you know,
people don't come in.
People don't come in. But you know, the violence interrupters, we have a proven plan that definitely would get results if they would just be open minded and bring us to the table. I'm here to tell everybody. Sincerely.
Well, thank you, Edward. Thank you very much. Edward? Well, I guess
it was good.
Yeah, okay. There it goes. Anyway. So what would the next step be? Because apparently the public officials are not listening to you. They're not paying attention, nor is the Chicago Police Department. Yet this continues to happen. I mean, my question is, what the heck? Why not try this?
Well, that's the thing. Give it an give us an opportunity. A long time ago, Rahm Emanuel, right when the violence was really peaking in Chicago, he decided to finally support Violence Interrupters. And he brought us in, and we helped get the violence down in Chicago, I must say. But I'm not here to take all the credit. I believe a lot of people play a key role. It's about collaborating with everybody. But Rahm Emanuel stepped up and provided us with $2 million to reduce gun violence in the 11th District and the 3rd District in Woodlawn area on the south side. That was many years ago. So right now, I believe if the mayor is listening, if our people are listening, I still would like to meet. I met with the mayor about 3 months ago. I'd like to meet with her again and just talk to her about how we can really help here on the red line in particular. A pilot program. Just a pilot program. And once we get the results, the desired results, then we'll see what happens from there.
Is it frustrating to you regarding the Chicago Police Department? I mean, I'm not talking about the individual police officers. I'm talking about the fact that, okay, they find a guy who's a bad guy on the train, but they're not allowed to chase the bad guy.
Right.
And if they do chase, it's only under some circumstances.
Right.
I mean, are they pretty much handcuffed in your opinion? And what do people in the community think?
Well, really, criminal justice reform has backfired on the citizens here in Chicago, seriously. Because a lot of elected officials and lawmakers, they're making decisions from a mountaintop. They're not talking to the victims of crime out there. There are some good things about criminal justice reform. Then you have some situations where you have the police where they cannot chase somebody on foot. I don't know if that's the best decision or not. I must say that because a lot of people just, they don't fear the police. There's no fear that the police can do anything to people right now in Chicago. Carjackers on the rise. The police, put it like this, the police cannot do too many things that are right. They cannot do too many things that are wrong. It's like it's in between with the police right now. Everything is just in between because they cannot really do some things. Their hands are kind of tied here in Chicago, unfortunately, to a degree. But that comes from a lot of the issues with police brutality and excessive force. It's just a small number of police that cross that particular line. But I believe that people need to stop making decisions from a mountaintop. You know, I serve as an adjunct professor in the field of restorative justice and criminology as well. So I know pretty much what I'm talking about. But we cannot be so soft on crime where the criminals feel they can just mess over people continually. That's what's going on right now.
But the mayor and the police themselves don't prosecute. It's Kim Fox, our state's attorney, who does that. I've said this on the radio before, so I'll say it again. In some ways, to me, it seems like she's more of a public defender than a state's attorney.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Kim Fox, I supported her in the beginning. I'm about 25% there of supporting her, you know, in the future. I mean, the reality is this. Kim Fox, I believe, when it comes down to really having a strong hand of justice, she's kind of like in between right now. I don't know if she really had the experience when we look back on her taking that office. And I believe she should have a big poster of Laquan McDonald in her office, because the only reason she really secured that office because of all the things were going on with Laquan McDonald. That's why she won that seat. Anita Alvarez made some mistakes with Rahm Emanuel, you know, for what it's worth, back during that era
Indeed.
Of policing here in Chicago. So she got lucky. She used to work with Tony Pretwinkle as her chief of staff. So it's about being, it's all about the end game, the inside game. That's how she got that position. I know her, I respect her as a person, but right now in the state's attorney, but then again, she sometimes gets the blame because of what the judges are doing down there in Cook County as well. The judges are letting giving people an easy way out. So sometimes she gets the blame, and that's not really right in some cases.
So this says, my two college granddaughters can't wait to find jobs and move to Chicago. I worry about them. Another says, I have a friend that was attacked on the Red Line a couple of months ago, and since then I drive her to work at 3 a.m. Another says, I am afraid to ride the trains. I used to do this all the time, and therefore simply don't come into the city. Who benefits from that? And I can go on. They more or less all are saying the same thing.
Yeah. So we're out there. We see what's going on. Like I say, but the mental health issue is really, really paramount on them trains. You can see it. Every time you ride the trains, I was on the train about a week ago at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. No police, nowhere in sight. No security, nowhere in sight. You had a lot of things going on, but I'm in pretty good shape, I must say. I'm in shape. And not to fight nobody. I want to make that clear. I'm just a ship. I can take care of myself, right? Uh-huh. But I'm worried about the women that have to go to work late at night, and they're afraid to board the trains. They're afraid to board buses. I was thinking about purchasing an electric bike because the gas prices, but I changed my mind because you might get shot riding an electric bike.
Well, right. So, yeah, you can take care of yourself, but not with the bullet coming at you.
No, you can't. No defense for a bullet.
You're right about the mental health issues. There's no question about that. But it's more than that, isn't it?
It's much more than that, because I was going to recommend to the mayor and the city of Philly, we need a mental health unit to board the trains with violence interrupters. I'm talking about solutions now. Mental health unit, social service unit on the trains with us as we perform outreach to the young people on the trains. And you never know, we might be able to get people to get off the trains. If you're homeless, find some housing for the individual. Work with them people. Take them on as clients. Take them on as clients that you work with on a regular basis.
Well, we only have about 20 seconds here. So if people like what you are saying and like what they're hearing, contact their alderman if they live in the city? What do they do?
Well, they can contact their alderman. Mention T.O. Hardeman, Violence Interrupters. My website is violenceinterrupters.org. That's violenceinterrupters.org. And you can find me on all the social media in the universe, T.O. Hardeman.
He's in the universe everywhere. T.O. Hardeman, thank you so much.
All right, appreciate you.